this with your friends and your groups, and you are with a Mexican Crossing Lines tonight here with Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
On 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. You can also find all of our other shows at kpppfm.com. Tonight, I was going to have an interview with Oscar El Blue Ramirez, and I was on the phone with him earlier today. We were talking about what we were going to cover on today's show. And just before the show started, he told me that he broke down on the highway in the fast lane. So I'm a little bit worried for him right now. But I told him we would start the show. He said, I'm going to hurry up. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, exactly.
I did wait, try to give him as much time as possible. So we're hoping that he'll be joining us later on. Hopefully he'll be calling in here in any moment. Last time.
Yes, that's right. And if not, we'll have to postpone and we'll do it another day. But, you know, he's in the fast lane, so it's Tijuana. I don't know what that means. The fast lane might be kind of slow. But he said he had car trouble. When you have car trouble and he had his child with him, he said, you got to think of your safety and everything first. You know, put the show second. We'll do a show another day. But in the middle of us talking tonight, if he calls in, that would be great.
Yeah, and last time that he had a delay, it didn't take him long to jump on with our show. So hopefully he'll be here at any moment. Thanks to all of the people who are joining us in the Fargo-Moorhead region and all over the country.
That's right.
We've got people watching from California tonight, from Omaha, Nebraska, Michigan, New York, Tennessee, all over. And we are also, as I said, available on kppfm.com. I want to thank all of the hardworking people in America and in Mexico. Mexico, muchas gracias a todos los que me han mandado información. I've been getting information from folks, not just Oscar, but other people from Mexico and the United States and even Canada about the work that we're doing here, talking about the border, talking about the caravans. So thank you very much, one and all of you who put in the time to do all this research, to reach out, to help spread this information, and especially with this new case that I wrote about on torisaz.com about this young man who was taken from the shelter in Tijuana and who we believe, as I told you yesterday, has now been trafficked into the United States and is actually at this moment in the hands of some of the people that were with the American activists that helped to kidnap him in the first place. Terrifying.
Yes.
Absolutely terrifying. If you did not catch that article on our Facebook page, I will share it with you in the comments of this show. I would really appreciate it for those of you who haven't read it, to please take a look at it. It's very important information about a young man who was taken from the shelter Agape in Tijuana. And we are going to try to do everything to find where this boy is and hopefully make sure that he is safe, because with these American activists who were giving him drugs and who it appears have now helped to bring him into the United States, I don't feel that he will be. So thank you for sharing that and sending me information about what the folks are doing that are bringing people into our country, whether they're in Tijuana or on this side of the border. Duke, how can folks support our work and send us your information?
That's right. There's many ways. You know, one way is, you know, give us a call if you want to send us information. We have a calling line that we use. If you want your voice on the air, we may put it on the air. But if you want to just call us, leave us a message, you can call 701-566-0917. Again, it's a message line, 701-566-0917. Email's a great way. You got Cindy at kpppfm.com, and you have me, Duke, at kpppfm.com. We also have, you can tweet us at media_PPP. Again, that's at media_PPP. And the one that seems to be most popular is our Facebook. You can find us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead. And then we also have two other Facebook pages, the People's Press Project and Mexi-Can. And our main website is kpppfm.com. That's where we take our live streams and we put them up. We actually put them on YouTube. And then we put them on our website at kpppfm.com. And we put an audio file on there, too. So in case you're driving down the highway and you want to listen to the show and not be looking at visuals, you can listen to our shows there. They're under Mexican Crossing Lines. And if you ever go to YouTube, you want to subscribe to the channel. I just hit 500 subscribers the other day, which is nice. It's Duke 1517. Again, that's Duke 1517 on YouTube. The more subscribers you get, the more people can see it that aren't on Facebook. It's also high-definition video, so it actually looks pretty good. You can go there. But go back to kpppfm.com. Read about the different projects we're doing and the different shows we have. We do broadcast in the Fargo-Moorhead community. We're up here in North Dakota, Minnesota. Right now there's a snow up to my eyeballs outside, and it snowed again today. It's March 1st, and the Dairy Queen opened, and people are out there eating ice cream cones. This is what Minnesotans and North Dakotans do. They eat ice cream out in sub-zero temperatures. Actually, it's above zero, about 10 above, but the ice cream won't melt. You can eat it just fine. We're kind of crazy up here. We hope that we actually have a spring thaw and a spring and a summer again. It doesn't feel like we are. But anyways, you can find more information about us at kpppfm.com. We broadcast over this tundra. It's nice and flat, and it's iced up, so our signal goes a long way, even though we're a low-power FM. We reach over 165,000 people. We're supported by people in the community because we are a nonprofit, non-commercial, community-run radio station. The Facebook Lives have been something that we started doing. It wasn't part of our original plan. We wanted to do social media, but we've been able to reach you people all across the country, into other countries. We have people in Mexico. We have people in Europe. We have people in Australia. We have people watching us all over the world, and it's very incredible. It's wonderful that you're taking this news on. In order for us to continue to do this work, we need donations from people because we are a nonprofit, so your donations are tax deductible. I will announce your donation on the air if you let us. Someone sent in a donation today. I had a first initial or first name, last initial. I can't tell if they wanted to be mentioned. But,
that's fine.
But
thank you.
But thank you very much. It was a $100 donation, and that support is just wonderful. It helps us pay the bills that keep us on the air. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whenever you make a donation, when we get one in the mail, I have to mail you back a receipt. But if you make one online, go to kpppfm.com/donate, or just go to kpppfm.com, look for the donate tab on the webpage. You can read a little more about us and do the click and make a donation, and I'll send you immediately a receipt, acknowledgement of your donation, and you can use it for your tax receipt right there. So thank you very much for the support. It's wonderful when we find people all over the country who support us, and locally. Those locally, you know, we've had local people make donations, and their names are on the air. We put your name on the air on the radio locally, too. Mm-hmm. So the latest one, that Joe's name is being mentioned on the air right now. Cool. And this next person that we just received a donation today, I'll put that person's name on the air, too. So if you want to be on the air, make a donation, and thank you very much.
I really want to thank the people that support us financially and the people that are doing a lot of research and work. Honestly, I don't think we could do this stuff without you. And for those of you who have been watching me for years now, you know that we have been exposing people who are taking advantage of one crisis or another, of an issue that a lot of people care about. And for me, it started here in North Dakota during the fight against the Dakota Access Pipeline, where there was an encampment that lasted over a year. During that time, I discovered that there were people there that claimed to be protectors of the sovereignty of indigenous people, claimed to be protectors of the vulnerable, claimed to be protectors of women. And then when it came down to it, they were working in tandem to frame an innocent Oglala Lakota woman named Kathleen Bennett to take away her mother, kidnap her mother, 82-year-old mother, away from her, and who allowed this woman to remain in jail for 6 months, many of them working diligently to discredit my reporting so that they could see an innocent woman rot in jail and let her mother die in a hospital. I became very aware at that time that these persons were not only frauds for what they claimed to stand for. They were perpetrating hoax crimes and reporting them to the police, like in the case of Kathleen Bennett. And that apparently they could get away with doing something that heinous to a family and have no charges brought against them. Not only that, they went on to continue to put themselves in a position of leadership to speak on issues they have no business being at the head of. And so I have been documenting, I have been reporting, and I have been making sure to expose this vast network that includes people from Hollywood, includes people from the clergy, it includes people who claim to be medics and healers and shaman. It includes people that are within the new media, live streamers, but it also includes, you know, well-established media platforms that, I mean, I for one thought were legitimate. I for one thought that they carried, you know, reliable information, and came to find out that they are just as vulnerable to putting out propaganda. The Intercept, the Guardian, Yes Magazine,
yes.
Teen Vogue. I could go on, but you know what I mean, right? I mean, you've probably seen this too, and it really makes me depressed, because as somebody that is working in the media, I held the media to a higher standard of making sure that they weren't simply towing the line or carrying water for someone. Look how quickly the Nathan Phillips story turned into this fake report of a hate crime that people wanted to believe. People wanted to latch onto that, just like they did to the Jussie Smollett fake hate crime. Jussie Smollett got caught. And there are still people out there who refuse to apologize for the attacks that they made against the high school students and refuse to apologize for the things that they said against anybody that is a MAGA hat wearer or anybody that voted for the President Trump. So we really live in a society at this point that lives and dies based on a red hat or based on whether you're Republican or Democrat. I don't think it used to be that way, Duke. Mm-mm. I don't remember a time where if you just said that you voted for so-and-so, that meant that people called you a Nazi and tried to disown you or refused to listen to anything you had to say. We can't even talk to each other in this country anymore about important issues.
No, that's true. And, you know, one of the things that's happened is that I'm not a, you know, a real political wonk. You know, I haven't been. I used to do that stuff. I used to spend a lot of time analyzing things. But politics have changed a lot, and a lot of it has to do with the media. Mm-hmm. The thing is that, you know, they raise so much money to do these campaigns, millions and millions and millions of dollars. I'm always very, very surprised at how much money is spent on presidential and local, you know, statewide and even local campaigns. So much money is spent, and what does it go to? It goes to advertising.
Yeah.
The mainstream media has basically made a show of, you know, political campaigns that they need, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars to win because their name gets out there in the media and the media spin. So the media has been basically, the for-profit media has been basically making bank on politics. And it trickles down to, you know, people's values, because we don't get together as communities to really discuss political issues. We get together for rallies. We get together for newscasts. And that's kind of what's been driving the machine. So we're very polarized because we really don't have an avenue to really discuss political issues. And we think we live in a democracy, and we're far from it.
Angie Marie says, I learned years ago my son was overseas. He told me never to believe what is on the news. Just let me call and tell you what is going on. And that was almost 10
yeah.
years ago. I think it's gotten a lot worse.
Yeah,
I think it has gotten really, really bad to the point where people are not just ready to believe in a hoax like what happened with Jussie Smollett or what happened with Nathan Phillips or what happened with Kathleen Bennett. They are ready and willing to double down on their hatred, double down on their outrage, a fake outrage for something. And it makes it really hard for people here in America to have a conversation about what's really important. I was talking to Oscar about this today because he is being trolled by a lot of hateful people mm-hmm. that are telling him things that I told him, I think that sounds like an American. It sounds like a very American worldview to tell someone in Mexico that if they don't accept all of these caravans, if they question the behavior of some of the people within these caravans, that they're xenophobic or that they don't know what it's like to suffer like that. They don't know what it's like to be a migrant. And you know, I know that he thinks that these arguments are ridiculous, but it still makes him really upset mm-hmm. that people are attacking him in this way, or that they want to attack him along party lines and say that he's a Trump supporter. I've heard him talking about, like, ladies and gentlemen, I am a Mexican.
That's right.
I cannot vote for your president. I have nothing to do with your politics. Mm-hmm. I am not a Trump supporter. I am not part of your politics. I'm a Mexican. I'm just a patriot in my country trying to protect my country. And you have people of all ages that run the gamut from all political parties that are looking at what's happening in Mexico currently and going, this, we can't do it. Whether it's because they're disgusted with the attitude of some of the people in the caravan, whether they're sick of the crime, whether they're sick of the demanding attitude and, you know, it's so hard for so many people that live in extreme poverty in Mexico to watch footage on the news of people rejecting food, throwing away clothing, mm-hmm. Just to the point where now the caravan that is currently crossing down in the southern part of Mexico is begging for anyone to come out and give them water or food because people are they've had it. They're so sick and tired of what's going on with these caravans. And I think that the last straw was recently when they killed two agents yeah. at the border and they attacked the immigration authority in Mexico with sticks and stones and broke the windows in the vans. We heard terrified mm-hmm. immigration agents, all of whom in one vehicle, one van, were women, screaming because they relentlessly were throwing these rocks through the windows. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're like trying to lay low so they don't get hit. And the women that were in the front were screaming at the women that were in the back where all the glass was, stop moving. You're cutting yourself. You're cutting yourself. And it was like, oh my God. Like, these are folks that literally take the women and the children among their caravan, many times putting them right up at the front, right? That are taking them to cross the border and they've got their children in tow. They're putting their children over the concertina wire. They're saying, when they're holding a building hostage, like they did at Viento y Marea, because they don't want to leave a shelter that was condemned because of their unsanitary conditions inside. We have women and children in here. We have women yeah. and children in here. And they attack a group of agents, all of whom were women. And most of the people that were throwing the rock, I don't remember seeing any women throwing rocks. It was all men.
No.
Attacking able-bodied, strong men that were attacking these women who had to run away. I think that those are the things that finally made even the Mexicans that are in Mexico saying, we've got to help these folks. You know, they're just here to find a better life, to say, we're done.
We've extended a lot.
You burnt that bridge.
That's right. You know, and I'd like my brothers and sisters in America, in the United States of North America, yeah. is the country we live in, it's the actual name of it, United States of North America. Mexico is the United States of Mexico. Mm-hmm. So there's two United States. But we have a very, very poor knowledge of geography. Get out the maps. Get out the Google. Look at the maps and look at Central America. And look at the borders. And look at the countries that are creating caravans and how they go through Guatemala and one other little country and then hit Chiapas, you know, the south part of Mexico. And Mexico signed on to, you want to treat people like human beings. Human beings deserve food, water, clothing, shelter, you know, that they're cared for, that we're all caring for other human beings. It's very biblical. You take the traveler, you let them in, you treat them well.
Of course.
You feed them. Mexico has that attitude. Mm-hmm. People have been migrating through Mexico to go to the United States. They hit this border. That's not going to let them in. And so they're faced with this dilemma of where all these people are going to go through the country for a quest to get in the United States. And they're like, fine, you know, we'll let you through and go there. It's your issue, your problem on how to get into that other country, because their policies are totally different than us. Mexico has bent over backwards, developed a system to give people visas, that work visas, that could be in the country, that they gave them identification so they could freely go through their country. They could choose to stay there in Mexico, find work and work in Mexico, or go on to try to get in the United States. They did this so quickly that people were getting armbands and they were getting their documentation so they could be legal in Mexico. And then a whole bunch of people who had a lot of crimes in their record wouldn't be let in. They came in anyways. And after a certain period of time, only a few weeks, Mexico said, you know, we'll give you these visas if you apply for them in your own country, and then we'll allow you to travel freely through our country. All these caravans, I mean, have been busing up and coming through, and there's been a lot of people doing damage and harm as they've come into Mexico and treating people of Mexico with the hospitality like crap. And people have been fed up because it's like, how come we keep on helping these people that don't appreciate it? It's like they don't want this help. They want other help. They want a lot more than we can give them. They're going right through our communities, taking over our town centers. Our zocalos are filled with people, and they're not using the bathroom. You know, they're not even equipped to be able to take care of this many people in one spot. So it becomes a crisis in the community. And then they have parties, and then, you know, not everybody's done this, but there's been enough bad situations that the people in their hearts to try to help these people are fed up because they've been treated so poorly. And the thing is that a lot of these people have been shammed and scammed that they're actually going to receive something that they won't receive, which is asylum in the United States. All they have to do is, read any newspaper, and they're going to know that less than 6% of people will actually make a cause for asylum, will actually have a hearing. They'll be incarcerated in the United States. Right now, that the United States is sending people back to Tijuana. You know, 124 were sent back just the other day, instead of being kept in the United States in detention, which is usually what's going to happen to you. And it's a mess. And the people of Mexico are suffering from all of this. It's not their issue. It's not their issue. It's not their fault. All this stuff about Mexico and Mexicans migrating into the United States is something that's happened for decades and years and hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. And these new caravans who have come from these other Central American countries have created a whole different issue for Mexico. So Mexico is actually someone who is being harmed by this more than the United States.
And they're right now, they are the Border Support Network, previously known as the Caravan Support Network, previously known as the Asylum Seekers Caravan Support Network, previously known as Occupy ICE, because they got to keep changing their names as soon as they're exposed for committing crimes, you see. And the latest of which, as I reported to you, was that they were involved with the kidnapping of a child. So now they're Border Support Network. They're mobilizing people to go to Texas. I believe that they're going to be concentrated in El Paso. There's probably a lot of people that are crossing in El Paso right now. So they're getting their camps ready of activists that are going to be there to protect the caravan goers. Because you see, the shelters are not going to be able to deal with all of these people. Mm-hmm. And they're counting on that because they're the ones organizing these caravans to bottleneck the system. They're trying to break it by bottlenecking the system with so many people coming in. One of my theories when I first saw these caravans happening is there's a lot of money to be made
mm-hmm.
in these immigration detention facilities, in for all of the organizations that work with immigrants or that work with people that are filing for asylum, whether those are legal organizations or benevolent organizations like churches or nonprofits that work for those people, like the Minority Humanitarian Foundation, like the San Diego Rapid Response Network, like Al Otro Lado. And I could go on and on. You've seen me, Immigrant Defenders. What was the other one? Humanity. This is Humanity.
Oh, yeah.
The Go Campaign. They've popped up. Everyone's got their hand out because there's money to be made, folks. And they know that the only way that they can make this money is to get into that system. So while a person like Patricia Okwuomu climbs on top of a Southwest Keys building to protest children being kept in detention, she's a professional activist. As she said today or yesterday in her Democracy Now! Interview with Amy Goodman, she doesn't have a job. Her job is to climb things. And you have to pay for it. And why? Because she wants in on the cash. She wants in on the money. Yeah, What's her skill?
We showed her a GoFundMe just the other day on one of our shows. Mm-hmm. And she was raising money to go down to Texas.
Yep.
And it was a $40,000 GoFundMe. And she'd raised quite a bit. And I thought, what does she need all that money for?
Uh-huh.
She was facing charges for climbing the Statue of Liberty on July 4th. Her hearing was supposed, or her, I don't know if it was a bond hearing or what it was today.
Yes, it was.
March
1st.
Well,
she was gonna have to explain why she got arrested again. And as Louis Monsivais was saying on his live stream after talking to her, while she was interviewing with Amy Goodman, there was a high likelihood that she would be arrested. In which case, she said she was going to start a hunger strike immediately. And the reason why they take these actions is because they want to be in the spotlight. And the reason why they need to be in the spotlight is because they need to make themselves relevant in this topic of immigration right here and now. And why? It's all about the Benjamins. You need to send them a donation because they're the spokesperson for the issue. But they just want their cut, folks.
Yeah.
They just want their cut. In my opinion, we shouldn't be expanding these detention facilities, and we shouldn't be expanding the business of taking on all of these folks, because as I have said, you might as well flush that money down the toilet. All of these people could end up getting housed for months and even years. And all it's doing is delaying the hearings of people that have already been in line to have their asylum hearings for years, 2-3 years now. So what's going to happen at the end of all of that is they're going to be denied their asylum and they're going to be deported. The only other way that you can be here legally is if you have a visa of some sort to work, to study, or to visit, or if you are sponsored by a U.S. citizen because you either had their child or married them. Those are the only legal ways to come into this country. If America wants to increase legal migration into this country and do what Mexico did by giving humanitarian visas so people can come and work here for a year and then go home, or maybe they want to have some kind of another path to citizenship for the DACA dreamers, then that's going to be something that this administration or maybe the next administration is going to have to determine. But what we have right now is what we have right now. And I am telling you that if even 10% of the people that are coming into this country, all of whom are claiming asylum, were to get it, it would be a friggin' miracle.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be a miracle. So the people telling them, oh, it's easy, and you'll get out pretty quickly, and then you'll have to wait some time, but eventually, maybe in 6 months or so, you'll be able to work too. They're lying to them. They can't promise any outcome. They don't know what's going to really happen.
Plus, there's a lot of repercussions. You know, we've talked a lot about the initial of you enter this country without proper documentation. That is, it's in the civil code.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you enter this country without proper documentation and you're seized and caught and charged and deported, you can never come back to this country. Then it's a felony when you try to come back to this country. You'll never get your correct paperwork. You'll never get your visas. You'll never get your green card. You'll never get your citizenship because of those acts. So they're setting people up that might have real cause to be in this country or are going to try to enter this country and become eventually a citizen of this country. They're going to be banned from this country. I mean, they're doing damage. Also, they're doing damage to the so-called, the normal Mexican community, mm-hmm. the tourists yeah. who want to come to this country. I mean, how many of you went to Cancun or something like that? How many at spring break, people go down to Mexico. You can go down to Mexico on vacation. You basically show your papers when you come in the country and you can go do what you want and then go back to the United States. There's so many people in Mexico. They won't even let them be a tourist in Mexico. Oscar talked about that. He's waiting for his tourist visa so he can come to the United States.
For a visit.
And Cindy's family won't even come here because that's too hard to get in the United States. I'm going to go to Europe. I'm going to go all over the world, but I can't get in the United States because they are so punitive because of situations like this. This is making it worse for Mexican people to be able to be tourists in this country and help contribute to our economy. So there's repercussions that are happening. We talked a lot about the detention centers and the prison system that was building up for the past 10 years for exactly this. They're cashing in now because this crisis, which we haven't pinpointed exactly how this is all being coordinated, but this is a big coordination. None of it's organic. This is serving so many purposes and so many people. And I like to talk about this money thing a little bit, too, with the SOMI SEC, right?
The SOMI SEC or Yauli camp.
Yes.
Because they have two camps now.
Okay.
Yauli and the SOMI SEC. Basically, they're two camps in Texas. They're protest camps. They're trying to give them indigenous names so they sound like they have the moral authority to do the shenanigans that they're doing down there. But one of the things I will tell you is that they're trying to partner up with these tribes that are asserting their sovereignty rights and being able to cross borders without having to go through border patrol, without having to show a passport, and using only a tribal ID and being able to drive in and out like that. And what that smells like to me is an operation to bring in people illegally.
Especially since these camps are being set up by not those people, but these so-called activists, these activists who are creating this. They're all swarming down there right now. And to me, this is the most bizarre thing. These activists, and it started with Standing Rock. It started my awareness of Standing Rock when people would they go online and they start these GoFundMes. They're funneling money to all these people through GoFundMes in a way that your money couldn't be traced. So you could have big corporations. You could have all sorts of people contributing to someone and really not knowing who they were and people collecting all this money. And it always surprises me that people are like, well, yeah, I need a new starter. My starter went out, my vehicle. And then they raise, $300 on these GoFundMes to fix their starter. Our car went dead and I spent 2 weeks walking through the snow. And the last thing I thought of is going online and saying, I need someone to give me $300 for a starter because my car isn't working. People are doing this still. People are doing this. I need to travel down to Texas to be part of this activist camp. And they're getting thousands of dollars to go there. Susie is one that just recently had these pages taken down on Facebook. Big appeal for that. Next thing you know, she's in Texas at one of these camps and asking for money to get down there and saying she had a breakdown, had some flat tires. And it's like, I'm just waiting for the GoFundMe to fix the tires, Things happen to people when they travel. If you don't have enough money to go someplace, save up or try to raise it somehow, but you can't just go online and expect people to give you thousands of dollars, to be able to travel throughout the country and go sit in some camp where people are sitting around planning these actions and these sorts of things when they're really trying to subvert the United States government and they're going to make this whole immigration issue into something that it's not. And it's going to harm real immigration issues. It's taking us so far away from the core of what this needs to be fixed, because now we got to fix all these activists screwing stuff up and doing a lot of illegal stuff that's harming a lot of people. And it's going to harm really trying to fix the issues to try to be more humane and try to make sure that people that want to come to this country can enter legally and have a process that doesn't take 20 years or puts you in jail, that is fair, and that we actually build our economy and our communities with people that want to be here that can be part of our community. This stuff is ruining it for everybody.
Now, I wanted to share with you that recent arrivals at the SOMI SEC camp in Texas include Susie Desbaugh, a.k.a. Vanessa Dundon, one of the water protectors, as she calls herself, from Standing Rock, that had an injury that occurred the night of November 20th of 2016 when the police face off against activists, and many of them received or sustained pretty serious injuries, like Susie Desbaugh, a.k.a. Vanessa Dundon. But she didn't go alone. She went to the camp with Orlando Cruz.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know who Orlando Cruz is, we featured him in the Marcus Mitchell fraud that took place online. Marcus Mitchell, as I have told you, is one of the other people who also faced an eye injury out at Standing Rock. He has, he claims that he lost an eye and then also taste, smell, and all of these other senses in one side of his head, etc. So he was one of those folks like Wilansky, the Sophia Wilansky woman that had her arm almost blown off, that people saw as like martyrs of the Standing Rock movement.
Oh, yeah.
And when Marcus Mitchell went online to tell people that he had gotten shot, it went viral all over the internet. And the people that were promoting helping him wanted you to Western Union him, like Joy Braun of the Indigenous Environmental Network. John Gonzalez wanted you to send him your money and your prayers. Also, you know, there was Orlando Cruz, Dan the Glass Man, and a bunch of these other people like Mitra Sin, who is an Army veteran who has been working very closely with LaDonna, Brave Bull Allard, who said, who validated this complete fraud, this completely made up injury, saying that she dressed his wounds and she's a combat medic. So she said, as a combat medic, I dressed his wounds. Also, here's his GoFundMe. Yeah. Go fraud me. Send him some money. So when I did the show exposing that it was all fake, and what we did was a reverse search of the image that he used, which was an X-ray that showed that the image that he used to say that he was in the hospital and that he had been X-rayed and there was a bullet inside of him, it did not belong. The image did not belong to him. It was like a 12-year-old image from a medical journal. All I needed to do was tell people, this is where he got this image from. This is a complete fraud. And within days, all of those people that had supported him and supported him receiving money were doubling down on their BS.
Yeah, yeah, they were like, oh, well, you know, if someone got shot, you should ask questions later because it's really important. You know, in that whole situation, it was a Friday before a Monday where he had a hearing in North Dakota for his charges. Now, if you had been following his charges, you'd already seen that the Water Protector Legal Collective had left him, and he didn't have an attorney, and these things had been filed. But there was a plea agreement that was already set well ahead of time that he was actually probably didn't even have to go to court.
He never had
to go
to court. But
they were fundraising to get him there. And Orlando Cruz was one of the people who is legitimizing him, said that he changed he dressed his wounds right there in his bathroom because he came and stayed with him.
Yep.
It was all lies. And when he was caught lying about this, he just went, well, I guess if it wasn't true, you know, he's still a brother water protector. These are the water protectors who have been doing his scams. Whenever a water protector comes up, boy, my hairs go up. I'm like, whoa, whoa, what's a water protector doing with this? Because they're cashing in on the status of being water protectors. So Orlando Cruz is with Susie in Texas today. They showed up together, and he's doing his fake drumming stuff there. And, you know, and they're jumping around in this new camp. Mm-hmm. The new Standing Rock is on the border of Texas and Mexico now, yes?
These people are criminals. They are. They've defrauded people online, in person. They're down. They're down to commit crimes. Louis Monsivais is down to commit crimes. Many of them have extensive criminal records. And Monsivais was making videos saying he knows the best places to cross And his family, he has a business, a money-making business, being a coyote with his family. They cross people illegally into the United States. He knows all the best spots. He's working with this Patricia Okwuemu person. They're all going to congregate together at some point, just like they did at Standing Rock. And they are all working together, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And the most recent post in the Border Support Network is one by Laura Christina Livingston-Berger.
Oh, yes.
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 Lolly B, mm-hmm. as she calls herself, or Lolly B Healing. Now, you may recall that Lolly recently in Tijuana, I think she popped out of Tijuana, came to the United States to buy a car and then went back. Who knows what she took back in with her.
Yeah, that's right.
But
a car with false bottoms.
Yeah, I know that she was making videos because she speaks Spanish, not very well, but she thinks she's a really fluent speaker. And she was talking about the unaccompanied minors. And in her tearful videos about the unaccompanied minors, she begged you to send her money because she needs to help them and someone has to help them. And of course, she's the right person to do it. Her and Jake Lee, other individual in the video, I think he's transgender and he also works with these transgender and gay caravans that they put front and center because they know they can make a lot of money off of them. That is one of the reasons why they put these vulnerable populations up front, take pictures with them, and they're like, GoFundMe, because they know that it pulls on people's heartstrings to see a vulnerable individual such as Javi, who had Down syndrome, or the little girl that that was in a wheelchair because she has, I believe she had cerebral palsy, or that's what they claim she had. It's disgusting, not because they're exploiting these people merely, but because they are exposing them to so much danger. And if the story of the boy Carlos, who it appears, we don't have verification yet, may have now been trafficked into the United States, doesn't illustrate the kind of danger that these folks put vulnerable people in, I don't know what can for you. I have seen it time and time and time again in the cases where these folks, this network of people, are involved in crimes like the one that they did to Kathleen Bennett, in crimes of kidnapping, rape, assault, fraud. I mean, the lists go on, and I am sure they're going to add trafficking to it now, including the trafficking of children. And it's pretty terrifying to realize that somebody like Lolly B, who's in Tijuana right now, I'm sure, again, or is heading there at this very moment, are working with this group, Al Otro Lado, who are also exploiting the caravan in their own way. And at the same time as she is putting up articles on the Border Support Network about how many children are held in detention centers that are minors or even infants, this is a woman helping these activists give drugs to children and traffic them. Do you not see the hypocrisy in that?
Oh, yeah.
That she is literally making herself out to be this kind of border angel that helps the children when she's working with the people that are actively lying to the children, giving the children drugs, and trafficking the children. It's mind-boggling.
Yes,
I don't understand how they can get away with that without people calling them on the carpet for it.
Well, they're slippery people. You know, they're slipping by. You know, Lolly B was in Tijuana, and she's talking about the thing we have to do now is house migrants because they're going to be stuck at the border. And we need your money to provide places for them to stay. You know, so it's all of a sudden people in the United States, oh, I got to give some money for that. That sounds like a really good thing. And at the same time, she's trafficking children. You know, she talks about children, the unaccompanied minors that have trouble. You can't cross the border. I mean, there's a whole bunch of legal issues that they're facing. So they're giving out information that's incomplete. They're giving legal advice, and they're
housing them,
and they're
traveling with them
and
around.
Traveling, and they're creating an issue. I talk about this almost every show. These activists need an issue. They pick an issue. It's like the Somi Sec. It's an issue of tribal sovereignty of freely moving through lands. Okay, that'll be the issue. The butterfly sanctuary is going to be destroyed. the burial ground is going to be destroyed. Okay, there's our issues, everybody. Now come on down here, and we're going to hold people off, and then we're going to do some stuff. Even though
in the background,
even though their sign says no drugs, no drinking, you know, they got to sign up in the camp that Susie
posted. Reminds you just like Standing Rock.
And it's like, you know, oh yeah, it's like drugs and alcohol, okay, because the people that are part of this are moving that sort of stuff. And you know, tonight's show is a little bit different because, you know, we were prepared for Oscar to do a
You know, one of the things Oscar told
stream.
Me?
What?
He said that, you know, people in Mexico were watching these activists and these American people working with these young people, these young men, these teenagers, many of whom are unaccompanied minors, as they themselves admit in their videos. And they were like, why are they hanging out with them? Why are they taking them out to have pizza and taking them to different restaurants? Duke, if I was in Mexico and a child came up to me and said, I am all alone, I don't have any parents, I would not be like, hey, you want me to put you up in a hotel room and take care of you and feed you? Because
right.
I don't want to go to jail.
Exactly.
They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care what they're exposing these kids to in the meantime. There are places like the father's shelter, the pastor's shelter, Agape shelter,
mm-hmm.
and there are many others that have been established in Tijuana for a long time that do provide this kind of support, and they know what they're doing. They're you know, recognized for doing that work. These people are carpetbaggers that come in from another country that don't really have the skills in the background, nor do they have the authority or the licensing in Mexico to be doing what they're doing, and they're doing it anyway, and they're doing it against the law, and they're doing things that are unethical, and they're doing things that are criminal. One of the posts that was in this group of photos that was recently posted by Lolly B was her buying snacks for the teen shelter. They continue working with teens. They like those teens. They want to have that in their
wheelhouse
of things that they're criming with. And then, of course, they talk about picking up donations for you know, people's apartments, who they, you know, they're putting up in apartments, and they elaborate that they're getting food and supplies for some people that they had to take out of a shelter because the shelter wasn't safe. Do you know how many times I have heard that one of the shelters, El Barretal, or whatever shelter, you pick a shelter, they have criticized, attacked every shelter, every space that's been given to them in Mexico. It doesn't matter whether it was in Piedras Negras, in Mexicali, whether it was part of the INAMI institutions, which they burned down in Mexicali, or whether it was El Barretal, or whether it was Agape Shelter. It doesn't matter. If it's not run by the Americans, if they can't manipulate it, if they can't be in there running things, controlling the people there with drugs, as the pastor reported to me, because that's what he said. He said, Cindy, they control the migrants with drugs. And the ones that aren't addicted are terrified of the ones that are. And I will keep repeating that because we have seen ample evidence that that kind of thing was going on. The police chief, the federal police chief in Baja California, in interviews with these activists that I translated for all of you to hear, he repeatedly accuses them and says he had the evidence of the fact that the migrants were consuming drugs inside of that shelter as well, and that the activists were consuming drugs with them. Now we know those people don't have money to buy drugs. Somebody's giving them those drugs.
That's right.
How do you have money to get an Airbnb for the LGBTQIA? A mansion.
Yeah.
Like the one that they got for them. How do you get the money for all of the booze, for the drugs, for the partying? I want to know, because this is incredible that you have people that say that they're running from poverty and starvation and these horrible conditions, but somehow they got the money to get high.
Yeah.
Like,
and are seeking asylum. You know, and also the, you know, it is a big issue that people who have crossed the border started their process of claiming asylum in the United States. and the United States government has been shipping people back to Tijuana. It is creating a problem. It's like, well, who's responsible to take care of people? You know, and it's like, you know, there's a bunch of people. I think the last number I just read just recently was 124 were returned to the United States, or excuse me, returned to Mexico. And so you have 124 people kind of like having to wait for their hearing, but they have to wait in Mexico. You know, this whole catch and release thing, you know, which they would bring people in and they would let them out of the detention center and say, show up for your hearing. That's something that could happen and has happened, but it's not happening with any regularity now. You know, the detention centers are full. They're shipping people back to Mexico. And those people are left there without any means. They don't have, you know, they can try to get their work visa in Mexico and try to go to work. But where are they going to stay in the meantime? And there are shelters. There are shelters where they can stay until they get, you know, the foot in the door. And for the activists to decide, we're just going to get a bunch of housing. We're going to raise a bunch of money from you. You're going to send us thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. You know, I can get an Airbnb for $15 a night that has two bedrooms along the oceanside in Tijuana. I was looking at the Airbnbs.
Jesus.
I thought, well, you know, how much is it going to cost? And they go up. They're very expensive.
Right.
But they're renting these places for people on a weekly basis with the money that you sent them.
Yeah.
And it's not fixing anything.
No.
And it's not helping people transition to try to get in line to try to create the next steps. And it's going to be a long time. So they're just going to sit there and wait.
And also, why can't you rent an apartment yourself? Why is American dollars funding the rental of these apartments in Tijuana, or rooms or whatever they are in Tijuana, for people that are able-bodied? And why can't they work on their own? I mean, it seems to me like they should be able to use their work visa or get a work visa because they were being offered.
Well, part of it, if you're coming to the United States to create asylum, are you coming to create asylum and then not work? Every person I think I've seen interviewed is that one of the things that I'm seeking work. I'm seeking better opportunities than in my country, and there's better opportunities in the United States. You can get paid more, you know, and what do? I do construction. I do this. I do bookkeeping. I work in offices. I have these skills that are employable. So you're going to just sit in Tijuana in an Airbnb and not do anything and just wait? Because it's going to be, I'm not sure how long it takes for one of these hearings to happen, but it's not quick. It takes a long time. It can be years. It can be a long time that you're waiting to have this hearing. And once you have this hearing, you may not actually be granted asylum, and you'll have to go back somewhere. Where, you know, if you're in Mexico already and you're waiting, you go to the hearing and, you know what, you get put back in Mexico, then what do you do? You know, there are people who have been given opportunities to go back to their home country, and a bunch have. And then we've seen people who've traveled with the migrant caravan all the way to Tijuana. Then they went back home, and they came on the next caravan. You know, they're recycling themselves to come back and through back to, you know, back to the same thing, because these are actions. These are things that are being put together. They're using people for a whole different messaging and a whole different action, and all sorts of different purposes. You know, and the drug stuff, you know, I wasn't aware of that in the very beginning when we started discussing this, mm-hmm. researching this. But now it's making a lot more sense that there's a lot of drug trafficking going on.
Yep.
And, you know, for these American activists to jump on that right away, I think it's totally disgusting.
It's very disturbing. I also saw that, you know, Vivian Farmery, one of the moderators or administrators, one of the main people on that Border Support Network page, was posting about how she is taking off and going to Tijuana. So you know that I told Oscar about it. I'm like, watch out, because here they come.
Oh yeah, they're going.
They're headed
there.
Back, as he was telling me. And I don't know if he's going to be able to join us tonight.
I kind of doubt
it. Just messaged him again and said, I hope you're safe. I don't feel the need to respond right now if you're driving or whatever, because, you know, we'll be on for a little bit longer yet. So if you want to join us, just Skype us and we'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
He did say he was going to try to be here as soon as possible. He had car trouble and he was stuck with his car broken down in the fast lane on the highway. So I hope that he's okay. He was telling me that the number of people from the caravan in Tijuana proper were dwindling.
Okay.
Dwindling. The numbers were going down. In fact, he told me he does not believe that Alberto or Alfredo, excuse me, I always get his name wrong. Alfredo Guerrero Ulloa, the guy with the terrorist past and likely he's a terrorist. Come on. That guy is no longer, he believes that he's left town.
Oh, really?
Yep. He is. And he says he's just so greedy. He's constantly demanding money and he wants money for the people that remain in Tijuana, for himself, more likely than not. And, I don't know that he got a lot of support this time around. People, like I said, are getting really fed up, which is good because I think that the tide is turning in terms of what Mexico is willing to put up with. Now, the government and Andrés Manuel López Obrador, what he'll do, it's anyone's guess because it appears that on the one hand, he says he's not going to let people in illegally and that he's forcing people now to request their asylum in their home country. They're going to expedite it just as fast as they were doing it here in Mexico. But now you have to do it there because having these bottlenecks at the Guatemalan border where people are just taking over parks and throwing these crazy parties, they can't have that no more. Mm-hmm. They can't have that. Guatemala can't have that. These other Central American countries are like, no. Why is this not being done in an orderly fashion from their country? They can request asylum from their country. And then when they get to our border, they don't have to wait. They could just come on in, you know? But for some reason, thousands and thousands and thousands of people are choosing not to do that. They wouldn't have to sleep in a park or, you know, sleep in a tent or any of that if they simply filed for asylum in their own countries, but they don't. They're not trying to do that, which gives away something. It gives away the fact that they know that that's not the goal. The goal isn't to get a humanitarian visa that allows them to travel into and work into Mexico so that they could just come in an orderly fashion, travel freely through, because then they wouldn't need the caravan, you see. Plus also, they would have the ability to choose what route they take, where they go in Mexico, and to be able to work along the way if they chose to stay and live somewhere if they wanted to for a while. And that is something that is not part of their goal. The goal of these caravans is to cross into the United States and request asylum. Because once you're in the United States, who knows what happens after that?
Yeah.
Maybe you show up to your asylum hearing. Maybe you don't. Maybe your asylum hearing is 1 year away. Maybe it's two. Maybe it's three. Who knows what can happen in that time, right? The thing is, it's all happening while you're standing in the land of opportunity. And that is way better than doing it the right way. They're skipping steps because they don't want the outcomes that could possibly happen if they did things the right way. And the people that are organizing these caravans don't want that either. In fact, as soon as people in this caravan that we saw go through Tijuana originally realized that these activists were full of crap, they couldn't deliver on their promises, and they were sitting there sleeping in a poo and pee infested street in a wet tent, they went, I have a humanitarian visa to go get. Yeah. I'm going to go get an apartment and a job. I'm not going to listen to these yahoos anymore. Mm-hmm. And thousands of them took off. They couldn't control them. And in fact, I told you this, and I'm sure that Oscar El Blue Ramirez told you this too on his cast, because I heard him say it more than once. And the pastor from the Agape Church said it to me as well. He said the majority of the people that were resisting on that street, that were resisting inside of that Viento y Maria shelter, had problems. And by problems, he meant drug addictions. They needed to use, or they had problems following the rules, emotional problems, behavioral problems. But the thing is, that's why they were there. Because they couldn't hack it over at El Barretal. El Barretal had rules, like most shelters anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. Whether it's in Mexico or in the United States, there's rules about what time you get in, rules about what time you leave. Mm-hmm. You have to tell people if you're leaving.
Yeah.
You have to tell people when you're coming back. You can't come back later. They're not going to let you in, right? You can't come in with contraband. You can't show up drunk. You can't bring your friends. There's rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these people complain constantly that if you take away, if there's rules, you're taking away their autonomy. You're taking away their human rights. If these people cannot follow the rules of a friggin' shelter, you think they're going to follow the rules, the laws of this country? Think again.
Mm-hmm.
Think again. Because I don't think it's going to happen. What do you think?
I think that...
On 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves.
One, there's a piece that I'm still trying to figure out because, you know, people are being told this is what's going to happen. And they're being provided transportation across several countries and many, many, many miles and many, many trips. And people are walking. Some people are walking. They ain't walking that much. Look at their shoes. And they're being promised that they can actually jump into this country and do this thing. It doesn't make any sense to me that that's their end goal, that all of a sudden, what have they been told that once you cross the United States, what you get?
I mean, what are they promising them? Well,
they're being promised things like, I don't know. It's like, why do
we
they
know some things?
Yep.
Well, because they've been told to get sponsorships.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're going to be set up in a house that has a pool, their own guest room. They're going to be able to lounge around, you know, and just take it easy. And they're going to be able to get a job for these rich people and you know, take care of their yard and clean their house. And they're going to make lots of money and be able to send home to their family. It's like, no, it's hard work. I mean, the people I've seen that have come into this country are doing these jobs that are really brutally hard. I mean, I used to do shingling, I used to do siding, I used to do construction. Those are tough jobs. And, you know, and I was a young man at the time, and it's like, it was like... it wears your body out fast. I thought I can't do this for the rest of my life because my body is going to fall apart from this hard work. These are the sorts of jobs that people are getting and doing concrete work and stuff that's so stressful and it just wears on your body every day. They're wanting to come here and do that, you know, and make a better wage. I mean, that's commendable because those are jobs that need to be done.
Sure.
They're crossing in wintertime. Construction business is like not happening right now. This is going to be a spring and a summer thing. And I just don't understand. There's so many women and children that can bring their children in that, you know, what are they looking for? What have they been promised that they are so eager to push through Mexico and disrespect Mexico all the way and then hit this border wall, which there is a wall in Tijuana. There's already a wall. You don't need to build another one. It's already there. It's already stopping people. People are getting around it. You know, people are climbing it. That's going to happen no matter what structure you do. There's also planes, trains, and buses, you know,
mm-hmm.
And so there's all sorts
and
of
tunnels.
Ways and tunnels and other ways to get across border checkpoints and those mm-hmm. sorts of things. It's so many people at one time. It's just confusing that they all have this mantra that they keep on talking about that I just want to go to the United States and work. To me, it's like, you don't look like that's what you're seeking. I don't know what it is you're looking for.
Well, what if they said we were promised that we were going to have like, you know, posh living arrangement over there and people are going to take care of us and sponsor us and, you know, help us achieve our dream of running a business or doing this.
Well, GoFundMe for every migrant. Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, like if they said like, well, I really don't want to work or, you know, I remember watching Ibrahim Aros.
Mm-hmm.
He was at Multimedios then. I think he's working for another larger chain now.
Okay.
And he was interviewing these two guys at the Tijuana Playas,
right? I remember that, yeah.
And he asked one, you know, like, what are you trying to achieve here? Are you going to ask for asylum? Or he's like, oh, no, I don't qualify for asylum. I'm going to cross illegally. And he goes, oh, you don't even qualify for asylum. He says, no. I committed crimes back in my home country, so I'm wanted there. And, first Ibrahim asks him, he says, well, what if you manage to cross over into the United States and they capture you and they put you into a detention center? Cause you know, that's very likely to happen to you. He goes, that's cool. If I go back to my country, I'm wanted there. They'll put me in jail and the jails are nicer up here. I could sit in a jail up here for a year, do some time. I've already been in an American jail before. It's pretty neat. And I was just like, holy crap.
Yeah.
This guy, he's been in jail in the U.S. He's wanted in his own country. He has no idea of trying to get asylum. He never intended to get asylum. He just wanted to get into the United States. And that's exactly the kind of people we don't need trying to get into the United States. Yeah. But are the people in this caravan, are the people that are organizing and funding this caravan screening people? No. In fact, they don't want anybody identified. They want to protect their identities. And that's not fair to Mexico. And it's definitely not fair to us here in the United States. But this post I saw between Lolly B, Laura Livingston Berger, and Vivian Farmery, the person that's going to Tijuana to meet up with her right now. They're working on getting funding, the LGBTQIA shelter, the Arcoiris shelter. And Vivian Farmery has put up a GoFundMe right now that has raised already, I think they just put this out today, $356 out of $5,000 that they have set as a goal for the new LGBT group within Caravan 3, which is arriving in Tijuana immediately. They've come from Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Nicaragua. And I realized she also had donated and commented on the previous LGBTQIA caravan fundraiser, which, according to the GoFundMe site, has already raised $4,385 of its $8,000 goal, as well as the one by Lolly B, Kay Kurimoto, Jake Lee, that included those migrants in the picture that they took. That picture that they took for this fundraiser, they took it at Pastor Agape's shelter.
Really?
They took that picture at his shelter. They posted it on social media, and they walked around the shelter. Remember, Lolly B and Doug McLean, all these people were walking around doing live streams. Jake Lee was doing live streams talking to people, and they were posting their pictures saying, we're raising money for these folks. She gave to that one too, and they raised $2,625 of their $5,000 goal on that. So, I mean, obviously they have a lot of support. And what they were posting and commenting on in that Lolly B post in Border Support Network, or on her page, excuse me, was about Al Otro Lado. So they're working directly with this lawyers group that is bringing people into this country and giving them advice on how that they can request asylum, including, as I told you, the pastor has proved to me with the evidence he's provided that they're fake marrying people. They're providing them with fake marriage certificates and then advising them to submit those fraudulent documents with their asylum claim. All that that is going to achieve, in my opinion, is that a lot of people could be facing charges for defrauding the American government. That's what I see for those people. I hope that more people like Pastor Rivera are able to intercept those activities. He's banned Al Otro Lado from his shelter. Okay. And he says they keep calling him and saying, hey, we heard you have a shelter and we have free lawyers that we want to send to your shelter to talk to them. Is it okay if we come? And he said, nope.
Yep.
I know what you do. Mm-hmm. You can't come here. And that was the end of that. So we should be on the lookout, or Oscar should be on the lookout for those individuals headed his way right now, because first comes the LGBTQ caravan. They usually get them separate transportation so that they arrive first, right?
Yep.
You seen that pattern?
Yep.
And the next thing is that there is going to be more of the other caravan goers. Meanwhile, one of the lawyers of the Water Protector Legal Collective, one of the lawyers that traveled all throughout Europe with a lot of the women, many of whom were involved in that same lawsuit against Donald Trump, the Sarah Jumping Eagle versus Trump lawsuit that never came to fruition.
Oh, yeah.
Headed by fake lawyer Red Wolf Pope, who was actually just a rapist in native garb. He wasn't even native, he's Chinese. That Michelle Cook, who was part of that fraud lawsuit and was part of all of this divesting, she's now at this same Yalui Somisek camp thing that they're doing. And there is going to be a concert DJed by one of the co-kidnappers in the Kathleen Bennett case. All of the frauds, phonies, and criminals are coming together in Texas right now.
Wow.
Yes. So that's my warning to folks that are looking to, you know, where is the action happening? It's going to happen right now in Texas. And I think something is revving up in Tijuana, much to, you know, the sadness of Oscar, because I told him that before our show today. And I said, he goes, everything's getting quiet, you know, quieter here. We're getting some people from Africa and from other countries, not really as much from Honduras and Central America now. And I said, well, they'll be there soon because the frauds are going down there. So I expect that these caravans will be heading in your direction as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like Oscar is not going to be joining us. We waited for him now for over an hour.
Yeah.
I sure hope
it'll be another car. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's welcome here on my show at any time. And I told him, we don't have to do it every Wednesday. We could do it any day of the week.
That's right. If you have
an update, if you have information. Mm-hmm. He also reported to me that a Mexican was beaten down in Chiapas and left with two hematomas in his head.
Oh, wow.
Pretty seriously beaten by members of the caravan. Of course, I'll wait for him to give you all of the details of what he was going to report on my show today. But we will have him on very soon to update you on what's been happening in Tijuana and throughout Mexico with these caravans. Thank you for being with us tonight for my border update here on A Mexican Crossing Lines with your host, Cindy Gomeshup.
And Duke Gomeshup.
You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And as always, good night.
Buenas noches.